In the vast, cold expanse of space, one name echoes through the millennia with both reverence and terror: Hadrian Marlowe. Known as the Sun Eater, the man who committed the greatest genocide in human history by destroying an entire alien species. Yet, behind this monstrous legacy lies a young nobleman who simply wanted to explore the stars and bridge the divide between species. Born into the privileged House Marlowe, Hadrian was genetically enhanced for longevity and beauty, decanted from a vat, as all nobility are, and groomed to become the next Archon of Maedua Prefecture. But unlike his father, the cold, calculating butcher of linen, Hadrian developed a thoughtful, scholarly temperament under his mentor, Tor Gibson. While learning the expected skills of swordsmanship, his true passion emerged in studying language, philosophy, and most dangerously, the alien Cielsin, humanity's mortal enemies for centuries. "I make no excuses for what I have done," Hadrian tells us. "I know what I am." This self-awareness forms the backbone of a narrative examining how good intentions can lead to catastrophic consequences. What would you do if your future was predetermined from birth? For Hadrian, the breaking point came when his father chose his younger brother, Crispin, as heir. He plotted escape with Gibson's help, diverting funds for passage to Teucros. The plan collapsed when Gibson was caught, his nostril sliced with a plasma knife as Hadrian watched helplessly. "Fear is a poison, my boy," Gibson told him, words that became Hadrian's mantra. Unexpectedly, Hadrian's distant mother revealed her own escape route. After knocking his brother unconscious during a confrontation, Hadrian fled aboard the Uranosser with 20,000 marks, his family ring, and Gibson's letter, declaring, "I'm not just anyone in Cielsin," rejecting definition by bloodline. Hadrian awoke on Emish, stripped of everything except his hidden ring. The former Palatine lord now struggled on Borosivo's streets, stealing from compost bins and sleeping in storm drains. Befriending a street thief named Cat provided his first companionship. When Cat died from gray rot after 2 years, Hadrian confronted suffering's cruel randomness, driving him toward the fighting pits that would change his fate. Stranded in Emish, Hadrian joined the Colosso as a Myrmidon fighter, using noble combat training while concealing his Palatine background. In the fighting pits, he found a surrogate family: Switch, a former Catamite; Gen, a convict; Kiri, a mother fighting for her son's education; Siren, a scarred veteran; and Polino, his mentor. "People are expecting to watch us all die. I aim to disappoint them," Hadrian declared. Over 7 months, Hadrian remained undefeated, gaining fame for clever tactics like using sand against shield emitters. He consistently disarmed rather than killed opponents, foreshadowing his later Sun Eater approach. The arena revealed the Empire's cruelty toward aliens, deepening his disillusionment. When his knowledge of Cielsin was discovered, Count Balian Mataro made him ward and tutor to his children under the alias Hadrian Gibson. "It is a cage," Hadrian noted, trading one prison for another. His situation evolved upon meeting Dr. Valka Ondera, a xenologist studying ancient ruins. Though initially tense, she questioned if he enjoyed killing slaves for his masters. They bonded over their respect for Xenobites and contempt for the Chantry. When a Cielsin ship crashed near Kalaga, Hadrian insisted on joining the hunt for survivors. "I want to talk to him. No one's ever taken a Cielsin alive before." In labyrinthine tunnels beneath Kalaga, ancient ruins of black stone nearly a million years old, Hadrian communicated with the Cielsin commander, Itana Uvanari Ayatam. Despite initial resistance, "In the time of dying, we will die," Hadrian secured the alien surrender. This historic negotiation went uncelebrated. The Chantry took custody of Uvanari, forcing Hadrian to translate while Inquisitor Agari tortured the alien. After 7 claws were removed, Uvanari revealed they had come to pray, claiming ignorance of human presence on this world. Through this encounter, Hadrian discovered these aliens weren't simple monsters, but a complex civilization with sophisticated values. Their connection to the ancient quiet suggested a history far more complex than imperial teachings acknowledged. What happens when mercy becomes treason? Hadrian's growing sympathy for the tortured Seelson captain led him to grant undoctu, a formal mercy killing requested by Yuvanari. In Seelson culture, the one causing dishonor must end it. "I wanted to help. I wanted to make things better. It's my fault," Hadrian confessed. Meanwhile, Hadrian's court position deteriorated after challenging Gilliam Voss, a deformed priest who had threatened him since arrival. Their confrontation escalated to a formal duel over Valka's honor. Despite opportunities to deliver killing blows, Hadrian hesitated while the priest showed no restraint, forcing Hadrian to kill him in self-defense. The fallout was immediate. Count Mataro revealed his true intention, to marry Hadrian to his daughter Annis, motivated by Hadrian's superior genetics. To ensure compliance, the Count produced a writ of disavowal, signed by Lord Alistair Marlowe. "I've been disowned by my family," Hadrian lamented. Caught between the vengeful Chantry and severed family ties, Hadrian faced an impossible choice: accept the arranged marriage or flee into uncertainty. From the Count's opulent box, Hadrian felt his choices weight as former comrades fought below while he sat amid velvet and silk, surrounded by wine-sipping palatines. This contrast embodied his alienation. Too educated for the fighting pits, yet too compassionate for Palatine society. His relationship with violence was complex. He despised blood sport as a spectator, yet excelled at combat when participating, using violence for survival rather than pleasure. This duality would define his journey, as the peace seeker grew increasingly skilled at war. Court life offered comfort but demanded compromise. Hadrian navigated social hierarchies with his noble background, while his street experiences revealed the human cost of Palatine indifference. Caught between worlds, he belonged fully to neither. His compassion for aliens made him suspect among humans, while his human identity forever separated him from those he sought to understand. Hadrian's encounter with the Seelson has fundamentally transformed him. His journey shows how good intentions repeatedly lead to disaster. His Chantry escape caused deaths and political upheaval. Protecting friends created powerful enemies, and diplomatic attempts with the Seelson worsened tensions. These patterns foreshadow his eventual destruction of the Seelson species, earning him infamy despite his noble intentions. In a universe where empires maintain power through silence, speaking truth becomes revolutionary, even when that truth might shake civilization's foundations. The price of honesty can be devastating, yet silence before injustice ultimately costs more. Hadrian's journey reminds us that the line between monster and hero blurs, and history's greatest villains often begin as idealists who simply wanted to improve the universe.